Today we will talk about our underrated song and an underrated movie from each of us. We'll talk about the finals. Game three was last night. I'll give a couple movie reviews, and we'll talk about some of the craziness that's happened around the Olympics. I am Hood Hobbs, and with me, as always, my right-hand man to the left, C. Wayne.
Always here. I live here.
And, of course, our producer, Brandon Torres.
What up?
All right, man. Well, let's get into it. I actually wasn't going to do this time, but I have had a couple listeners who have asked me. They said they really like our lists, you know, our top five games or music or whatever else. I guess people like that. So we're not gonna make a full list this time. I kind of want to know one song and one movie that you feel is just very underrated. Like, it's something that you love and the rest of everyone is kind of like meh, you know. And it could have been popular back whenever it first was released, but maybe it didn't stand the test of time with everyone the way it did you. Okay, so C. Wayne, why don't you go ahead and start us out, man? Give me your number one underrated song.
It's gonna go Nickelback because we're trash and I love them.
It's gross.
Probably Saving Me.
Saving Me.
S-A-V-I-N apostrophe.
Oh, Saving Me. Okay, yeah, they got edgy on that one. They took a G off of it.
I mean, it's a great song.
Okay,
great song. It aged well for 2 years when it was made 12 years ago.
Okay, well, and you were 8. 12 years
I was
ago.
A child.
Yes, you
so
were.
So I
a
didn't
small
hear
child,
it until yeah. like 3 years ago. Though
can't
but
hold
slaps.
The poor judgment against him.
Right? Yeah, you can. He just said he hadn't heard it until 3 years ago.
Oh, no.
Nickelback is the bee's knees.
Okay. So you can advocate for Nickelback all you want to. I ain't in it. Y'all
I
hug,
will.
Kiss,
I
do whatever
will.
You need to. I ain't in it.
We will
not buying.
No. All right. So why don't you give me an underrated movie, like a movie you love that maybe not everyone else does.
I love The Conjuring, like those scary movies. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people like them, but I know a lot of people hate them too. Because like, oh, it's so fake. It's a Conjuring. Like, it's all like, except you know when scary stuff's going to happen, because I do. Before I watched them, I knew when it was going to happen. It's predictable. And people are like, oh, it's trash. It's like a -3 on Rotten Tomatoes. Not really, but it's bad.
Okay, but for the record, in most cases, whenever I check Rotten Tomatoes, and it's like, oh, it's, I don't know, like 30% rotten, you know, it's not a good movie. Those are usually the movies I like.
Same. The underrated movies.
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah. I mean, by
the Nickelbacks of music, if you will.
Exactly. I won't. I promise you I won't.
AJR.
AJR is not underrated.
Yes, they are.
Oh, my gosh.
They don't have many followers.
Yeah, they haven't won a Grammy in their first 4 minutes, so
exactly right.
They're underrated. Anyway, okay, all right, so that's...
Give it time, brother. Give it time.
Yeah. All right, so let's... I don't know if I can take... that. So let's go to Brandon. Underrated song.
I'm gonna have to go with Hit the Lights by Metallica. It was their very first song on their very first album, and not a whole lot of people even really know it exists, because whenever they think of Metallica, they think of the, you know, Black Album songs.
Right.
But it just right off the bat, it gives you an idea what Metallica was all about, because it's just thrash metal, like in your face.
Yeah, yeah, all right. All right, give me an underrated movie.
The movie Warrior with Tom Hardy.
Okay. Yeah,
he plays this, I guess it's the brother of a school teacher who's also trying to be an MMA fighter. The two of them are it's kind of a juxtaposition of the school teacher brother and then the quiet, silent, but really, really awesome. I think his character's name's like Tommy even, so not a stretch for Tom Hardy to play that role, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But no, it's just a phenomenal movie. I don't know. I think everybody should give it a watch, because if you like movies like The Fighter or Million Dollar Baby, but not quite as, you know, sad and depressing.
And dramatic, yeah.
But well, no, the drama's there.
A lot of drama, but it's not, you know, like Million Dollar Baby was like a super sad story.
That movie
did
is
someone
depressing.
Die?
Yeah.
Rest in peace. We always talk about dead people.
She didn't actually die, but...
In the movie.
I'm pretty sure Hillary Swank's still alive.
Yeah. God willing. Anyway.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't even know. I don't even remember what she looks like. I just said it. Anyway. Okay, so, yeah, I mean...
Clint Eastwood's still alive, for that matter.
Oh, yeah, no
That's
kidding.
That's a great song, by the way.
Gorillaz?
Clint Eastwood by Gorillaz. It's a great song.
It is a great song.
Yeah, it's on Trolls.
It's an underrated song.
It honestly is. I was going to say Feel Good Ink. That was actually the song that I couldn't remember before we were recording Feel Good Ink.
That's my new underrated song. Oh, yeah,
okay. There you go. Well, I'll go ahead and tell you mine, man. As far as the song goes, and I've told Brandon this, I don't know, probably 400 times over the years, but for me, the most underrated song in history, now, it not so much when it was released, but it just didn't stand the test of time the way I feel like it should have, was Naughty by Nature's Feel Me Flow. That's... Yeah, you're
mind sure. blank. Zero. Yeah, times zero, zero.
Yeah, of course.
No, it's great.
90s.
I mean, we got crazy in the 80s, so we 80s. Won't kiss heinies in the 90s. Okay.
Oh, so it's a 90s song.
Yeah, it's early.
90s. I was born in the honestly, early 2000s. If he would hear the beat itself, he's probably heard it on a freestyle somewhere on Sway in the Morning or.
Oh yeah, I would say. I mean, that seriously, that the beat to that has been
iconic.
Used. Yeah, but the overall the song though, man, it just I don't know.
From the people who brought you Hip Hip Hooray.
Yeah. There's a Hip Hop Hooray.
Oh, yeah. Hip Hip. Or Hip Hop Hooray.
Yeah. Hip Hop Hooray. Anyway. Okay. So my underrated movie is actually another one that's actually kind of bad, but I love it. It's Dante's Peak. 90s. Like, you remember in the 90s, they like had battling movies all the time. So like Tommy Lee Jones in Volcano. And then Pierce Brosnan in Dante's Peak. And like, I don't know, like, they were both probably trash movies, but, like, I love both of them. God, get out of here. All right, so we did that for the listeners, for whoever it is out there who's listening, who enjoys the list. I hope you like our underrated picks. So let's talk what Colby especially is good about talking about. Let's talk about the finals, man. Last night was game 3. Milwaukee going into the game, Phoenix leads 2-0 in the series. You got Giannis and Chris Middleton.
Michael Jordan, a.k.a.
Right, yeah, Chris Middleton. It would be an a.k.a. What would you say, like a Pippen?
He's either Michael Jordan or Kyle Kuzma, no in between. He's either there or he's on the bench.
Okay, fair enough. And Arkansas boy himself, Bobby Portis, had himself a good night last night. So I'm going to read you these stats because they're pretty impressive. And yes, I'm just focusing on the winning team. I'm not trying to take anything away from Chris Paul or Devin Booker or any of those dudes.
They did shoot 30% or less from three, which is Devin Booker 1-for-7. That's horrible.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. Jay Crowder had a good night from the three-point line, though, for Phoenix. I mean, he was, 6-for-7?
But he's not Booker.
Well, no.
It don't matter like Bookers do.
Right. But, okay, so you had Giannis ended the night with 41 points, 13 rebounds, 6 assists. That's a big night.
He is 7'5".
Yeah, he's a big guy. Let's go down to Chris Middleton here. 18 points, 6 assists, 7 rebounds. Drew Holiday, 21 points, 5 rebounds, 9 assists. Our man Bobby Portis, 11 points, 1 assist, 8 rebounds, though, coming off the bench.
18 minutes.
Yeah, in a total of 18 minutes for Bobby Portis. So, I mean, he had a pretty good night.
He made the
night.
Most of it.
Yeah, he did. And, man, I'm telling you, I watched the game last night. Every time this cat touched the floor, Milwaukee comes to life. I mean, it was intense. And some of his, he had a poster moment last night. Pretty slick little pass game, deception game going on underneath the basket. And he follows it up with a... just a killer flush, man. It looked good. I was excited. I was happy for him, especially with those first two games. Milwaukee in general, not just Bobby Portis, but Milwaukee in general just kind of came out and fell flat. Giannis had a big night in game 2, but other than that, he didn't have a lot of help. You know what I mean? So last night was a fun game to watch. I beg forgiveness from Michael Jordan, but I even made mention that I might become a Milwaukee fan.
I've been one since they drafted Giannis.
I've always clung to being a Bulls fan, but it's not a lot of fun.
The Bucks, Bulls, they both BU.
Yeah,
and end with S, 5 letters.
It's not even a hard transition.
Up
then.
North.
Yeah.
Both of them have horns. Both of them have horns.
I believe they call a deer's antlers, sir.
Same thing.
same, but different.
Same thing.
Yeah, it's the exact same thing, just completely different. Seriously.
Very similar.
You got to give him credit, though, that this next game is very important because somebody's prediction.
Suns and 4. Suns and 5.
Say Suns and 5 last week.
And you have to give someone a pity win because if you don't give them hope, then it's no fun beating them.
Well, we'll see how Wednesday turns out. Why do you think Wednesday LeBron, is game four?
Why did LeBron let the Warriors go up 3-1 in their perfect season? To give hope so you can take hope. Boom. 4-3 because of Kyrie Irving, not LeBron. Anyways.
All right, so tell me, since you're the one who predicted the Suns in five, we'll get back on subject here. Since you're the one who predicted the Suns in five, they got another game on Wednesday is in game Milwaukee. Four, and it's in Milwaukee. You see Chris Paul and the Suns beating them, coming off that big win last night. You see them beating them at home in game four.
Yeah, Devin Booker had a rough night in Milwaukee. He's used to the gym now. They're all used to Bobby Portis. He's good in Milwaukee. That's a fact. He had good stats in Milwaukee for all three series in the championship, whatever it's called.
All right, fair enough. So
the Suns in five.
So you're still
Suns
sticking.
Suns in seven. If not Suns in seven, like they do predicted.
See, I'm to a point now where I'm having to adjust what I said because I said Milwaukee in five. Well, that's impossible now. Mm-hmm. So,
he's still right. You said Bucks in six.
Yes.
You said Bucks in six.
They just have to win three more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which will be tough because out of the next three games they have to win, only one of them's in Phoenix, right? They'll start alternating back and forth.
Would be, yeah. One would be because they go to Phoenix, then back to Milwaukee, then back to Phoenix.
Yeah.
So they have a good chance.
Yeah. Yeah, so it could happen. So I think since I'm already out, I'm not even going to change my prediction because like I've already messed that up.
Still going with the Bucks though?
Yeah. I still got the Bucks winning, and I would say
seven.
I would say it'll probably be pushed to a game seven. Now, I mean, for Chris Paul's sake, I hope I'm wrong. I really do. Like Chris Paul is one player that is fun to watch all the time. He brings that work ethic, that hard-nosed ball playing style that I love to watch. And he's been doing it his whole career. So, like, am I going to be upset if the Suns win? Absolutely not. That's great for Chris Paul. I don't really care either way because I'm not a fan of either team. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really care who wins, but I'm still going with Milwaukee, and I'll say Milwaukee in seven, even though I just said I wasn't going to change my prediction, but whatever.
Did you see how it says no matter who wins the finals, every player in each team will receive, like, their first finals championship? Like, not each team, obviously, but whoever wins, no player in either team has won a finals yet.
Really?
Yeah, Jay Crowder's been in one with the Heat, but he lost.
Right.
He's been in another one with someone else, and he lost, too.
Definitely wasn't while he's at the Bulls. I know that.
No, the Bulls suck.
I haven't sniffed
a
championship in a bit.
Yes, I know. You don't. It still stings.
That Derrick Rose season, though, MVP.
Yeah.
I don't think he should have won it.
Oh, my God. Okay, listen, before this turns into a fight, you got anything else you want to put in? Talk a little smack on Giannis and talk up Chris Paul some? Or
no, Chris Paul's point guard. That stays
popping. Oh, my
pop.
God. All right.
That's what they call him on, like, Instagram.
Hey, look, bro, I'm not going to argue Chris Paul's relevancy or talent. This dude is incredible.
Been doing it for years.
Yeah, that's right.
Teams.
Yeah, and what he does is incredible because he gets better every season.
Wasn't he even a part of the Oklahoma City Hornets team during the Katrina flood whenever the team relocated to
Oklahoma
Orleans?
City. Yeah, the New Orleans. He was a New Orleans Hornet.
He's the same
Hornet,
coach this year, too, as his rookie year, Motley.
Yep. And this, you know, that would be a nice little Cinderella story for everybody there. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so I tell you what I'm going to do, man. We especially because we're always a few days behind when we're talking sports and stuff. You know, I'm just going to kind of move past this. So I'm going to go to another thing that listeners like, and Brandon always looks forward to, is my movie reviews. So I checked out a couple newer releases this past week. One of which is a Kevin Hart movie, which you would probably expect for him to be just very animated and like, you know, like he always is in his stand-ups and some of his goofier movies and stuff. But that is not the case in this one. He was funny, but the movie is called Fatherhood, and it's a Netflix original, which, you know me, I'm kind of a fan of these Netflix original movies. Like, I'm like, oh, Netflix original, that'll be good, click. But basically, just to give you a quick, like, you know, summary of this movie, Kevin Hart and his wife are pregnant. She's getting ready to have the baby. They, you know, do that. Kevin Hart is it probably tells you exactly what he was, you know, quote unquote, doing for a living in the movie. All I know is he was an office type. You know, I don't know. I didn't pay close enough attention to that. But anyway, so during or shortly after giving birth, his wife passes away. And that's within the first 10 minutes of the movie. And like, it's tough, man. Like, it is a tearjerker. Like, it is rough because, like, that's to give Kevin Hart a lot of credit because, like, you believe him. You, like, the pain that comes over his face, you're like, oh my gosh, this would be the worst. And anyway, so the movie goes on, obviously, you know, that's in the beginning. So he's a single father doing the best he can with a little girl. He's an immature father. He doesn't have his priorities in the right way. You know, it's the typical, lack of a better way to put it, kind of the rom-com story, you know. I'm not good at this, but I'll get better at this kind of thing. But, man, just overall, though, great movie. There's tons of good little laughs in it and everything. But, man, at the end of the movie, you kind of get the warm and fuzzies. You're like, man, I am so glad I watched this. It was really good. If you're a dad, I would recommend watching it. If you're not a dad, I recommend watching it. You might not think it's quite as good if you've never experienced what being a dad is like. But, man, if you're a dad, definitely, definitely watch this movie. It's stellar, man. I loved it. I mean, I'm a Kevin Hart fan anyway, but this was not a typical comedy movie. This was more of a dramatic role, and it was good. It was really good.
So you're saying that he really surprised you with his acting ability in this one? Because I've only really seen him in things
where he acts like Kevin Hart.
Yeah, where he's playing himself.
Yeah, right, right. And in this, yes, to answer your questions, yeah, his acting ability really... I don't want to say surprise me because, like, anything I've ever seen Kevin Hart in is always, you know, at least entertaining, even if it's not really, like, Jumanji wasn't really all that great, but it was entertaining.
Hold up. That was a great movie.
Well, like I said, I mean.
Jumanji Black, or whatever his name is. I don't know his name.
Jack Black?
Yeah, I was called Blackjack. His poker game. I like poker.
Yeah, I got it.
Jack Black. I didn't know where he was going with that.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, easy.
And The Rock.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, like I said, I enjoyed the movie. It was a good movie. It just wasn't, by traditional standards, it just wasn't a great movie.
To you.
People may be surprised, you know, because they're not expecting that out of Kevin Hart. They're expecting Jumanji or...
Secret Life of Pets. Yeah. It's a good movie.
Oh, man. Hey, my daughter, Secret Life of Pets was her jam, dude.
No cap.
Yeah, no cap.
Oh, shizzle.
Yep. Yeah. All right.
I'm diving in y'all's waters.
Yeah, okay. All right. Dope. But, all right, so I mean, that's kind of what I feel about it, too. I mean, dads would really like it. Moms will really like it. Women in general will probably really like this movie because there is a certain amount of, and I mean this in a very, like, textbook way, it's a romantic movie. It's this father's love for his daughter that's you know, helping him make better decisions and this, that, and the other. You know, it has a romantic feel in a father-daughter sense, which means a lot to me because I have a daughter. Anyway, I'll just tell you this.
Same.
What?
Well,
yeah, his mom's going to listen to this, and she's... Woo! I'm kidding. His mom's not going to listen to this.
Yeah, my mom don't care about me.
Golly. Okay, well, let's move past that. All right, so the other one that I'm excited about, I'm very excited about reviewing this one, okay? It was released a couple months ago. It came out on HBO Max, and it was called Those Who Wish Me Dead, starring Angelina Jolie, okay? Right. And if I have not already convinced you that this was not a good movie, I don't know what else to do. It was not good. Like, the idea behind it was cool. Like, okay, so get this. Angelina Jolie is a hotshot firefighter, okay, a wildland firefighter. Well, the reason I was like, oh, this would be cool is because I used to wildland firefight. So I was like, oh, this would be a cool movie. So she's like, apparently some drunken, reckless hellion who's on the fire department or something. And John Bernthal, for some reason, is the sheriff. I don't know. I don't know. But, like, they do a bunch of illegal stuff, and then they're like, oh, it's no big deal. We're cops and firefighters. I was like, that seems like that could raise issues. I don't ever remember it being that way.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the story goes, like, I don't know, that, like, someone knows something they're not supposed to know. You know what I mean? Like, that's the plot. And somehow this little kid comes into possession of said information on, like, a, I don't know, flash drive or something. I barely paid attention, to be honest with you. But anyway, so these James Bond types are chasing them trying to kill this kid to cover up whatever secret they need to cover. They wreck the car. The dad wrecks a car off in the woods and dies. This kid decides to run away from the bad people, which makes good sense, and is found by Angelina Jolie, who then goes on to trying to save him from bad people, like secret agent style, but still she's just a firefighter. So, like, she has firefighter tools.
She has a hatchet.
She doesn't even carry a hatchet. So I was a little bit, I was confused. I was like, well, you're going to take on these bad guys with fully automatic weapons with
what, a water hose.
Like, your stunning good looks. I've got news for you. It's not going to work.
I don't know if I'd give her that either.
Well, that's why I said it's not going to work. Yeah. But anyway, I don't know, man. It ends the way you know it ends.
He's safe.
Tell me how it ends, Brandon. Tell me exactly how this movie ends. Angelina Jolie saves the kid.
Yes, from the big fire, right?
Yeah, from a big fire. Oh, yeah, that was another thing. The secret agent types, they light a fire.
Of course they do.
Because it has to bring, yeah, you have to bring it all full circle.
Full circle.
And that was the whole, but that was my point right there. I'm glad you did it. It came full circle, right? It was, that's how the whole movie felt. It was like, okay, well, now this is going to happen because that's what happens in these types of movies. And then it happens.
That's like the, you're what I like, said about scary movies. It's predictable.
So you're saying it's no Backdraft.
No. Now, pump your brakes, man. Now, Kurt Russell is a national treasure, okay? But no, that's my brother. I love that movie.
Captain Ron.
But he's no Liam.
Yeah, he's no Liam Neeson. But anyway, so here it is right here to sum this part up is Fatherhood, good movie. Check it out. It was warm and fuzzy. It was a good movie. I was glad I watched it. Those Who Wish Me Dead, you just heard the whole movie. Don't go watch it. It's not worth your time.
Unless you're in love with Angelina Jolie. Or don't watch it so you don't lose your love for
sorry,
her.
Sorry, Brad Pitt.
don't lose your love for her. Don't watch it. Save yourself.
Is he still married to her?
I have no idea.
I don't either.
What actors and actresses stay married? Felicity. Kanye. Kardashian.
They're not still together, are they?
No. Oh, exactly. Okay.
Felicity. Well, I tell you what, let's stop talking about the Kardashians and go on. Like, I'm going to hand it over to you now, Colby, because you have your topic you told me you want to talk about tonight. And I was like, dude, that's good. Let's hit on that because I have a few things I want to throw in on it too. But I'm going to let you go to town on it. And when you're done, I'll add in my points.
Okay, so what it was about the Sha'Carri Richardson thing, like the she used marijuana before her big race where she broke the record and qualified for first in the Olympics, and she's disqualified now because she used marijuana, knowing it was against the rules and they would test her. And people try to say, oh, they tested her randomly because she's black or because this and that. No, they tested every single person in the race. They told you they were going to test them because that's how races work. They test for enhancing drugs, just like sports. They do it.
Right. Didn't Michael Phelps get in trouble for this too?
Yes.
Yeah.
They didn't take his medals away.
No.
No. But it wasn't during season.
That's true. It was already after the Olympics.
And he already had the medals.
Yeah. It's like, what are you going to do? Be like, hey, did you do something after the Olympics?
Yes.
But it wasn't. Yes. It wasn't like within a month of the race that actually happened.
Yes. He had failed after he was all but almost retired from it anyway, because he'd already put on that performance at the Olympics where he carried that team and won all those medals.
Right. Okay. So go ahead, Colby. I'm sorry.
But so like they stripped her of going to the Olympics and all that, and people are trying to say that, oh, they should still let her, it's just marijuana. But like, it is. It may have not enhanced her at all or made her worse. It may have done nothing. But it was against the rules itself, and she knew that. She admitted that it was against the rules. And people are still like trying to say it's not okay. But like, she told people, it's okay. I broke the rules. I'm out. That's how it works. If you break the rules, knowing that they're there, you're going to get punished. There's no excuse for that.
No, I
would. And I'm not against marijuana. I don't do it personally. But like, when you know what's wrong, like they don't want you to, don't do it. It's that simple.
No, I agree with that. It's one of those things that I'm going to touch on marijuana for just a second. Never in my life have I ever heard of anyone smoking marijuana and then being like, all right, now I'm ready to go run that race. I've just marathons of movies. Yeah, I would say maybe like binge watch Netflix and eat every Dorito in the house. But yeah,
they may want to test Joey Chestnut.
But what did he get, 83?
Yeah, he broke his own record again.
Again.
He's going to get sick.
He's great at swallowing dogs.
All right. I guess I'm missing who is this chestnut fella?
Nathan's hot dog contest.
Remember back whenever Kobayashi was dominating? Well, we had Joey Chestnut come in as the big American guy. And the white man.
And nothing screams American pride quite like, I can eat more hot dogs than you can in a minute.
Want that mustard belt back to America.
That's right, baby.
But no, he won it, and he's not really relinquished the title since. He just wins year after year, but he's increasing the intake of the amount that he's eating in that time by more and more hot dogs each time. It's like, how do you do that? How are you still alive?
Was it 2 minutes, and he ate like 80-something?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, how sick do you have to be after that?
He, like, crushes. I'm pretty sure he takes the hot dog out of the bun, pushes the, like, dog all the way, swallows it one go. And then,
the bun,
he dips it in the water and, like, swallows it because it gets mushy. And they have, like, 30 cups of water. I mean,
it's that is disgusting, man.
It's amazing. I watch it.
Every 4th of July.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Matt Stoney won it 2 years from.
Okay, let's get back on the Olympics here instead of the hot dog eating. I was just talking about how I don't know how marijuana can be a performance-enhancing drug.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Unless there's like a big chocolate bar at the end of the run or something.
It would make her less focused and lackadaisical on it. That's what I thought.
Right.
And then she got a 30-day ban, which the Olympics are within 30 days, so that's why she's banned. And people are like, oh, they kicked her out. No, they didn't plan for it.
She knowingly did something that was against the rules, and whenever she got tested for it and she failed, I guess at least she owned up to it, didn't try to run from it, deny that she
and they're still trying to fight for her as if she got screwed.
But see, that's the whole thing is, like, do I think that, I don't know, you know what, who cares what I think about that? What I'm going to say is this, if you know, if it's written, you know, hey, you have to pass a drug test, and you know marijuana is not allowed, and you're going to go compete in the Olympics, you would think you might set the J down for a month or so while you're training or something. You know what I mean? Because, like, if it's against the rule, I'm with you. If it's against the rules, it's against the rules. You know, what's good for the goose has to be good for the gander. You can't just be like, oh, well, it's just weed. Okay, well, you know, I kicked this dude out for HGH, and this is on the list of prohibited drugs or whatever, and you popped hot. Sorry, if I get rid of him, what he's doing might be worse. It doesn't matter. It's all against the same rule. So if you failed that, then you fail. I mean, sorry. Yeah, all right. So anyway, you brought this up the other day, so I wanted to talk about good old Uncle Vanny. Robert Van Winkle, isn't that his government name?
Yeah, I think he's Rob Van Winkle, which that sounds like a phony name, but no, Vanilla Ice is the phony name.
Yeah, right. So Vanilla Ice says that pop culture is dead. He says, you know, the 90s were the last great decade of pop culture. For the two people in the room who can speak to the 90s.
Yeah, I don't even think Colby was alive in the 90s.
No, 2000 is when he was born.
He was born in 2000?
Yeah. All right, so anyway... So let's kind of get into this. You spent more time in the article than I did, so kind of give everyone a rundown.
Well, it's not a very long article by any means, but I guess Vanilla Ice said something to TMZ along the lines of the 90s were the last cool generation, and that people still today talk about how awesome the 90s were, and that when the iPhone came out, it really killed culture. I think what he means by that is it just our entire culture shifted because we became more mindful of everything that we're seeing in front of us on our screens rather than living in the moment.
Okay. And I think to a certain extent we probably both be like, all right, yeah, maybe Vanny's got something there, you know. I certainly miss his hairdo. From Ice Ice Baby,
that fade thing he had,
yeah, with like a bouffant,
yeah. G-Eazy just thought he had it going on.
Yeah, that's right. Black on black with hair slicked back. You know? but here's what's cool about Vanny's point, or Vanilla Ice's point. I'll quit calling him that. Someone's going to contact me. Stop doing that.
Yeah, probably him.
Yeah, he doesn't have anything better to do. Okay.
Apparently not if he's talking to TMZ about right. the 90s.
Yeah. All right, so... So let's touch on it a second. Let's throw out some of the great things that we experienced in the 90s. So you know, pop culture, just, you know, right now at least, just sticking on pop culture, is this. Rocko's Modern Life, great thing that's gone now. You know, 90s show, it's gone now. You know, I mean, tons of stuff, but, you know, I'll touch on this. Millennials, especially, because we're usually the generation that grew up in the 90s and early 2000s, you know, mm-hmm. You know, late 80s is when you're usually being born, so you grow up in the 90s, early 2000s. So, like, we are the most nostalgic of all generations, I'm pretty sure.
How so?
Well, like kind of what I just said with like Rocko's Modern Life. You know what I mean? Like, I still love that show. Like,
oh, just like how you were waxing poetically about a Nickelodeon show. You're like, hi, Brendan.
But I can't. All right. But we are very nostalgic because, like, we do remember all the cool things that we did as kids, not just pop culture. We'll go to the culture in general. You know, we were the last generation that, you know, got told if we weren't home by the time the streetlights come on, we were grounded or we were going to get our butt busted or something. You know what I mean? Now, I think, from what I've been told, that you know, you got teenagers in the house now and mom and dad are like, yo, would you go somewhere?
Yeah, can't get them out of the house. I have nieces and nephews, and that's truth. They're homebodies. Often they're homebodies. If not, they're with friends, but they're with their friends at their home. They're not out doing things. And I don't know if that's something about the society itself or, like we were talking about before with Vanilla Ice's point, that now they have a phone in front of their face and that's all they care about is that phone.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what I think it is. I mean, today's kids, and well, that's not fair. That's actually not fair because I am grown folks and I am addicted to my phone. I mean, everyone is right now. You know, hey, I got news for you guys. The great pandemic is actually smartphones, because, you know, we've all kind of become zombies, okay? Yeah, I make a pandemic joke, probably in bad taste, whatever. But, yeah. Hi, welcome to the show.
Where have you been?
Yeah. But no, man, like, you have endless information in the palm of your hand. You have endless entertainment in the palm of your hand all the time with these phones. Like, my daughter is, you know, 4 years old. And now, given her phone is not active, she can't call anybody or anything like that. And we have it on like some kind of parental lock type thing. I don't know. Jennifer can approve what she can and can't use on it. But it's an old phone that my wife doesn't use anymore. But she has one. And she watches like YouTube Kids and all this kind of stuff. Well, don't get me wrong. Although that's nothing at face value that's wrong with that. The problem I have with it is like, my four-year-old, when it's time for bed, and I'm like, all right, yo, let me get the phone. She wants to put up a fight about it. Have you ever seen a teenager lose their phone? And the only reason I have, I do not have teenagers yet. Oh, I don't know if I'm ready for that. And I know that's a long ways off, but I'm still nervous. But like, you know, you can look it up online. You know, there's videos, parents post videos because they're hilarious for one, of their kid freaking out over losing their phone. But like, some of these kids are having absolute meltdowns, you know, and I'm not talking about 6-7 year old kids throwing fits. I'm talking like 15-16 year olds. Acting,
yeah, just about to be out of high school.
Yeah, yeah, acting like, you know, a toddler throwing a fit because they lost their phone. Like, I wish somebody'd come take mine, you know, but I need
just it for a reprieve, right?
Yeah, because, you know, I have to have mine for work and for the show and for all that kind of stuff. I mean, you and I talk daily, mm-hmm. Most of the day, every day, you know, and So I don't know. Like I said, I don't blame kids for this. I actually blame parents, including myself, for causing this big thing. So getting back to the point I'm making out of all this is, you know, in the 90s, early 2000s, we would do things. Like when I was a kid, all I wanted to do like was go ride my bike with my friends. And then once I became a teenager, all I wanted to do was go out with my friends. And then as a young adult, even once all the technology advanced and all this kind of stuff, and everyone has smartphones and all this kind of stuff, like, I still wanted to do all the go out with my friends thing. When I was in the early days of all that, we all went out together, right? But that's when it started, because we'd all be out together and all be staring at our phones.
Exactly. We got that lecture quite often when we would go out.
Yeah, right. You know, it was one of those things of like, why are we doing, why are we even hanging out? Like, this doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Like, I could just go home and interact with you the exact same amount as I'm doing right now. And I try to be mindful of that, and I fail a lot because I'm just like everyone else. I've got a phone in my face all the time. But man, I just, that's what I miss. That's what I, the nostalgia really kicks in for me with, like, you remember when I didn't care if I had a text message or an email or, you know, how many hits we had on the, you know, whatever.
I'm in an interesting situation because I actually know, remember exactly that time, because that's around the time that I came into your life. And at that time when we met, I didn't even have a smartphone. I was using the old, you know, prepaid burner phone.
Yeah, right. So
it was an interesting time. I was really living in a dinosaur world there with that flip phone. But at the same time, we were hanging out. We were going out. All I really needed to know was where we were meeting up and when to be there, where to go.
Right. Well, and that was one really cool thing about, like, when you and I were running around together, like, all the time back then, is that it helped me because I stayed off my phone because I had someone to talk to. Mm-hmm. Like, I would much rather sit and actually have a conversation with a human being face to face than to text or to call or to whatever. You know, hey, hold on a second. If you're a weirdo, don't be stopping by my shop trying to talk to me. Okay. Send me a text. I'm kidding. All right. But yeah, man, I mean, I don't know. Like, Vanilla Ice's point about the 90s being super rad, hands down, yeah. The 90s were most rad, dope. Man. Yeah, most dope, man. But at the same time, flip side of the same coin, is with all the technology and with the way things are now, yeah, everyone abuses it and we should all try to stop. But think about all the good that's come from it as well. You know what I'm saying? Hey, look, they introduced something into music in the early 2000s called the auto-tune. And we all know that, we all know we jammed T-Pain.
That T-Pain's a millionaire now because of
that's right.
Auto-tune.
That's right, man. We all jammed T-Pain. Everyone did. I mean.
Did you see his NPR, his acoustic set that he did for NPR? I think it's Tiny. I don't want to butcher this. Tiny chair, tiny set, something like that. But he did an acoustic set. That means no auto-tune. Homie can sing.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I mean, I've heard him sing before. I haven't seen that. I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, you definitely do yourself a favor and check it out. Because, I mean, his voice is beautiful.
Yeah.
And it surprised a lot of people, especially doing songs that we've heard all these years with heavy auto-tune.
Oh, yeah.
Being sung with his natural voice.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and that's cool. I have no problem with the artist that uses auto-tune whenever, you know, they start catching flag and they go, okay, let me turn it off real quick. And then they rock your world. I'm like, he can do what he wants. Yeah. T-Pain, he's one of those. He can do what he wants. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of cool things that have come in the modern day, you know. Okay, right now is a good example because no one can see us, but I can see you, and you just checked your Apple Watch. You can read text messages, emails, you can do web searches, you can call from it, you can do all kinds of things on these things. Well, like I said, the endless information that you can access, I think is, you know, I know I some people don't like it. I do. I think it's great. I think that at any given time that I want to learn something, I can pull my phone up, or, you know, if I'm sitting in my house, I might open my computer. Doubtful, you know, but I'll pop open my phone. I say that like it's a flip phone. I'll look at my phone and just like search for whatever it is I'm trying to learn. If I want a good recipe for something, because I'm the cook in my house, if I want a good recipe for something, if I want to learn what year a song was released, anything, I mean, I can just get it. I mean, as fast as the internet will allow you to get it.
Yeah. I used to stay up at night because it would keep me awake because I couldn't remember, you know, who was that guy that was in that movie? What else was he in that I remember him from? That's not a problem anymore. You just open up IMDb, look for the person, and then find the other movies that they've been in and answer your question.
Yeah.
Peaceful sleep.
And that's what I was about to say, is you could literally type in what you said. Who was that guy from that movie that was in a movie movie I once saw. And there's a good chance Google's going to be like, oh, yeah, that was Rob Schneider. Yeah, I don't know why it would be Rob Schneider, but...
I think it says more about you than anything.
Right, boo for me.
90s.
Yeah, but yeah, man, I mean, so it's hard for me to give a hard, like, I agree with Vanilla Ice. Because, like, even though I do think the 90s were cool, let me tell you something. Today's fashion, because he even mentioned that, today's fashion is much better than the 90s. I'm sorry. It is. It just is. Today's music, that's a hard one, man. You can't really say anything was better or worse because it's all about personal taste.
And it's always going to be subjective because, I mean, there's people that still to this day think that anything that was recorded past the 60s is just garbage. And
right.
That's inherently can't be true because there's got to be something that mankind would record after a time point that would be good.
Well, absolutely. I mean, Tommy James and the Shondells were in the 70s. Yeah. So, I mean, that doesn't even make sense. You're welcome, Dad.
No, what? No Nickelback?
Yeah, no Nickelback or Creed.
Cut his mic.
Cut it off. You ever notice that's how all those sounds sounded? It's just constantly over different. All it was different chord being strung.
Yeah. I actually took the time to do a little bit of that research and listen to some of those songs that he's recommended, and yeah.
Yeah, they're bad.
They're almost a lot the same song, just different tempos.
Right, yeah. But I don't know, man. I'm gonna have to go 50-50 with Vanny on this one. I think that there are a lot of things that were a lot better in the 90s. I think that Human Connection was better in the 90s.
But how can that be if we're all connected in this worldwide web where we're now we can reach out to a complete stranger that, like right now, somebody in Japan can have a conversation with us, and that's not something that they could have done at that time. We can make friends with, you know, people from all across the world, and before, your only real outlet to be able to do something like that was to have a pen pal and to wait for the mail to deliver a letter.
Right.
So I see what you're saying, that you can't just damn all of technology just because you have a nostalgic feeling toward a particular period of time.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, man. You know, well, okay, this show is a good example. We have listeners in Brussels. What?
Yeah, shout out to Brussels.
Yeah, what's up, man? Belgium.
They are actually regular downloaders.
They are. And when you hear this, just know that we appreciate you very much. And feel free to send us letter or a letter. We won't wait for the mail. Send us an email. We're on board with technology. Sorry.
Yeah, completely ignore our prior rant about technology. Yes, please get a hold of us on the socials.
Yeah, that's right, man. But yeah, like I said, man, the 90s were cool, man. There's no argument, at least from me. There's no argument that 90s were dope, man. They were cool. But, you know, you kind of have to look at things like, don't you get bored if nothing ever changes? Like, if everything stays exactly the same, wouldn't you just get bored? So, yeah, man, I think that there's a lot of cool things. And something else, real quick, is you should feel special that you get to look back at it and get those nostalgic good feelings because you got to experience it. So, I mean, honestly, man, I think Dr. Seuss said it best. You know, don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened. You know what I mean? Like, I just think that that's the coolest thing, is that I get to look back and say, you know, whether it was better, worse, whatever, it doesn't matter. It's all about opinions anyway. But in my opinion, I get to look back at it and I get to say, you know, I got to live through that. I got to experience that. And I'm happy about that. You know what I mean? You know, let's go ahead and wrap this up for the night. You know, hey, I'm going to go ahead and just plug this real quick. You know, if you're still listening to us, we appreciate you so very much, man. Keep sharing it. Keep getting us out there. You know, just nothing but love for the people who are listening to us and for the people who will in the future as well.
Hey, let me throw this in there, too. If our listeners don't mind, to at least message us or hit us up on any of our social media platforms, just engage with us because it helps us, you know, continue our show, make it better.
Yeah, absolutely.
It helps us know what people want to hear.
Absolutely. I mean, if you got questions you want me to answer or to give you my opinion on, I guess I should say, I don't know if I offer any real answers, but, you know, drop us a line on Facebook. Facebook. DM us on Instagram. I'm still learning Twitter, so I can't tell you what to do there. Brandon or Colby could do that. But either way, man, follow us, like us, do all that stuff for us on social media. You can find us on Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, and Spotify. Please download, subscribe, all that good stuff. So as for all of us here at the Hoot Hobbs Show, I am Hoot Hobbs, and this has been the Hoot Hobbs Show. Good night.